Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, real kids, real talk radio.
Hi, this is Connor Brantley, host of Hello, the Future is Calling. And this is Our Future is Missing, Voice America Kid. Please be on the lookout for Philip Pinnock, African-American, and is now 22 years old. He went missing from the Dallas-Fort Worth area on August 17, 2005 at 5 o'clock. Philip is 5'6", 130 pounds, brown eyes, and brown hair. He may still be in the Dallas area. Philip has a pierced ear and a gap between his top front teeth. If you know of Philip's whereabouts, please contact the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children's hotline at 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-5678. To see a picture of Philip, please click on the link on the Voice America homepage, OurFutureIsMissing.com. Thank you.
It's time for Bookworm. This is the show for avid readers and those that should be avid readers on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, here's your host.
Thank you. Welcome back to the program Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich, as always, and on my birth certificate. And our topic today, and has been for the past few shows if you haven't been here, which you should have, so shame on you for not being here. Let me take a pause. Shame. All right, thank you. Deserved it. Anyway, back to my book. It's The Tiger's Apprentice by Yep, book one. So you know what that means. Exactly. That means that there's more than one book if it's labeled book one. No, this is a series, guys. I've been reading it for good, probably like a lot of shows now. It's a great book. I really recommend it. We just got to the part. I mean, we're really far in, but you know, you can always just, you know, download my stuff and listen to it constantly. You know, send me emails, maybe even presents. Okay, maybe not presents. Nope, definitely presents. You can send me presents. It's fine. But let's get back to the book because I know that's really what you guys want to hear. We're on page 170. We basically got Mr. Huzz opening the portal for both Minstrel, Monkey, Sydney, and Tom, which is incapacitated at the moment because of the large battle with one of the creatures that they fought. And they ask Nuka, who is a princess of the old times with wonderful and, like, really just powerful magic, but she doesn't like to be bothered, and she's very cutthroat when it comes to things. She'll only help you if it helps herself at the same time. And now she's asking, and she's trying to get the Guardian to realize that reviving Tom is not the best idea. Maybe there's some underlying truth behind that, and maybe that's a hint or foreshadowing. foreshadowing to book two, that maybe he doesn't want to live or whatever like that. But let's get back to the book. That's where we are so far, so here we go. Monkey, Sydney, and even the dragon could feel their bodies swaying in time to the spell, as if magic was so primitive it called deeper than flesh and bone, commanding the very cells of their body. Finally, with one last swirl, Nuka stopped and took a jade dagger from her belt. "Give me your wrist." Mr. He crept over respectfully until he was beside her, and then, sitting down the rose, held out a forepaw.
"Thank you. Thank you.
But will the boy thank me or curse me this day?" Lifting Tom's wrist, she murmured a spell that did not seem to have any words, just sounds. Sometimes harsh and girdled, sometimes rising like a lit little bird soaring through the air. Then, with her dagger, she made a quick slit in both the tiger's and the boy's wrists and pressed them together. "Say these words. With my blood, I join you.
With my blood, I join you,"
the tiger intoned solemnly. "Now bow into the portal I have opened," she commanded. Bending over, Mr. Hub breathed upon the bleeding cut. "With my breath, I bind you," she said.
"With my breath, I bind you," Mr. Hub repeated.
Nuka turned and gestured to Minstrel. "You, dragon, grasp his arm like so. She wrapped her fingers higher upon Tom's arm to stop the flow of blood. Minstrel hurriedly obeyed. Then Nooka nodded to Monkey. And you, ape, tear up your robe for bandages. Frightened, Monkey began to rip up his clothes immediately. With their help, Nooka bound up the wounds of both the tiger and the boy. Then she swung her strange gaze towards Monkey, Minstrel, and Sydney. She stared at them so long that even Minstrel began to squirm. Yes, nice to see you again. She rose and then waved her hands as if she were shooting away pigeons. Now, let me rest until our next meeting.
You have a foreseeing?
Mr. He asked, resisting his cut forepaw against his stomach. She smiled mysteriously. Call it destiny. My life has been intertwined before with all of yours. She plucked a shining scale from her gown and pressed it against Tom's cheek, where it clung. Tell the boy that when he has need for me, he must plant this in the earth, slap the ground, and call my name. I will come. Then, returning to her bed, she laid down, clasping her hands over her stomach. So, farewell until next time. And closing her eyes, she fell into a deep slumber again. All right, guys, that was chapter 13. Now we're on chapter 14, which usually comes after 13, unless I've been getting it wrong for all these years. And now we're on page 172. And this is, again, The Tiger's Apprentice, book one by Yep. That's Yep. Y-E-P. Let's continue. What did she mean? Sydney whispered, glancing nervously and resisting and resting the Empress. I've never met her before.
Me neither.
Monkey shivered as he spoke in a hushed tone. I'd have remembered someone like her. Minstrel touched the glittering scale on Tom's cheek. I, for one, do not want to see her again.
You would have to be as desperate as I was, yet I would never have expected such a privilege. Somehow, Master Thomas was important to her in another life, Mr. Huss said, and then staggered as he tried to raise. I'm afraid this whole affair has left me a little dizzy.
The dragon caught him with her paw. Who wouldn't be after giving some of their soul?
Minstrel, the egg, Mr. He waved feebly.
We'll take care of everything, huh? She promised, as she passed Mr. He over to Monkey and led into the tunnel. While Minstrel got Mr. He's coat and tucked the phoenix's eggs into a pocket, Sydney snatched up the flashlight. I have to take the boy, Minstrel said to the rat. Don't you dare go through his pockets. Steal from a partner? Never! Sydney said indignantly as he took the coat. Gathering up the sleeping Tom, Minstrel brought him from the chamber while Sydney followed. They all looked relieved when they were standing outside Nooka's chamber. The rat had barely snapped on his flashlight before the door slammed shut behind them with a clang. In the beam of light, she saw the sign hanging against the bronze. He wrinkled his forehead and he looked at the series of little pictures. It's like a comic book, isn't it? No, it's Egyptian writing, ancient script. Even every picture, every little thing, is a word, Minstrel said, adjusting her grip on Tom. What's it say? Sydney asked. A short translation would be, do not disturb, Minstrel said after studying it. And the long version? The rat wondered. It's a list of terrible but very intuitive punishments, if you do, Minstrel said. Sydney gulped as he helped Mr. He put on this coat, on his coat. But she wouldn't really carry them out, would she? I mean, she sort of knew us.
Monkey nudged the rat. Let's not find out.
As the rat tried to move
to the front with the flashlight, he noticed that his paws stuck to the floor. "Hey, what gives with a soft stone? The stone's gone soft still. I'm slipping in." Monkey's foot made a noise when he lifted it. "It's like melted candy." Mr. He sagged against him.
It's hard to hold the way open."
"Well, better hurry," Minstrel said, nodding to the rat to grab hold of her again. "Hey, guys. Sorry, disappoint, but let's take a break. I'm Christopher Froley. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids."
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m. whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3. That's 6 p.m. Eastern is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
And thank you. Hey guys, welcome back to the program Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. Yeah, I'm Christopher Froelich, and our topic today and is and always has been for quite some time, not always, but has been for quite some time, The Tiger's Apprentice, Book 1 by Yeep or Yep or whatever Y-E-P is, so I'd say Yeep. Or yep. I'm saying yep. So it's yep. We got through it so far. If you guys have been really tuning in, which I appreciate for those of you who have been tuning in, those of you who have not, slap on the wrist, because that's not cool. My show's pretty awesome. Actually, no, it is. It is awesome, and you should have been here to hear all of it. But it's okay. As long as you're here now, I forgive you. Anyway, guys, we'll get back to the book. We're on page 174. We just got done with, they've revived Tom, and Nuka, the princess, just basically told them that she's going to see them again and that their futures are intertwined, foreshadowing to the next book. Mr. He is very, very tired, and he's having a trouble keeping the doorway open. Remember, they're in a different type of dimension kind of a thing. So everything's starting to turn into mush. And they're starting to slip through, so they don't have very much time before the doorway completely collapses. So it's very important if they get out of there fast. Minstrel is basically carrying Tom all the way through it. Sydney is holding Mr. Ho's jacket while he puts it on, and they're kind of rushing through, and Monkey's just being Monkey, because Monkey's scared. He's scared of Nuka, so, you know, can't do much. Could if he was a wuss, but, you know, that's Monkey for you, Monkeys. Anyway, guys, let's get back to the book. I know that's what you really want to hear, so... All right. "We'd better hurry," Minstrel said, nodding to the rat to grab hold of her. As they fought their way back up to the surface, they found that hurrying was difficult, even for the dragon. The stone seemed to have gotten thicker, so that it was like trying to swim through glue.
"Hey, it's starting to stick, guys," Sydney said, wiping away stone with the consistency of bread dough.
"Tell me about it," Minstrel said. The dragon's scales were half covered in the goo. She was having the most trouble. As the rock solidified around her, finally she puffed.
"Take Tom. Save yourselves."
"We wouldn't leave you now any more than we would leave Tom," Sydney said. If this had been one on land, the rat would have never had a chance of pulling the massive dragon. But the earth was still more liquid than solid. Sydney took one of the dragon's forelegs and began to kick. Somehow, the rat managed to help Minstrel keep rising up the layers of sand. Even here, the going was not as easy as the last time, for the sand was also hardening with the fossil shells. The ground bruised and scraped themselves as they moved through them. Finally, their progress was more like digging than swimming, and it was hard for all of them to breathe. As the ground grew more solid, it became harder to see the others.
"Just a little more, guys," Monkey called from above. "I've reached the store with Mr. Huh."
"Any moths?" Minstrel shouted.
"No, but the doorway is shrinking,"
Monkey said. Even so, the brave ape plunged back to give them a hand with Tom. They emerged from the door to see Mr. Huh waiting for them. As Minstrel crawled away from the hole, she collapsed.
"Oh, jeez. That was close."
Sydney gave a yelp as the hole shut with a pop on the tip of his tail, which had carelessly let dangle in it.
"It was a lot closer than for some of us."
"I'm sorry," Mr. Huss said as he sat down heavily on the chair. "I was so, so tired that it was hard to focus."
"You need to rest, Mr. H," Sydney said as he helped the tiger off with his coat and hung it on the back of the chair.
Snapping off his flashlight and returning it to his fur, he examined his tail for damage. Minstrel laid Tom back down on the stretcher and nodded at Monkey.
"In the meantime, this fur bag and I will have to see to things."
Monkey took out his staff, but he said,
"I don't think that'll be enough. Now that we have the rose, Vatten will be coming after us with all of his forces. We need refuge."
"Nonsense. I'll be all right."
Mr. Huss struggled to stand up, but plopped back down on the seat.
"In a little while."
Minstrel tried to brush some of the sand from her scales.
"Well, where can we go?"
Monkey rested the staff upon his shoulders.
"The Dragon Kingdom?
They will be safe there." Minstrel sank her chin against her chest while she thought about it before she looked back at them. "For once, I think the ape is right. The egg should be taken to the Dragon Kingdom for now, and sooner the better."
Mr. Hutt turned to look at Tom on the stretcher.
"Yes. But we'll have to wait until he's stronger. We can't leave him to be taken hostage."
Monkey clapped the dragon's leg affectionately with his paw.
"And then you'll get your wish. Our paths are finally going to part."
"You're always trying to tell me what to do, aren't you, furbag?" Minstrel snorted.
"Maybe the choice should be mine."
"But it would be death for you to go there. You know that," Mr. Hub protested.
"I think the phoenix will be my token of safe passage," Minstrel said.
"But what if it isn't?" Monkey insisted. Despite all of his teasing, he looked worried for Minstrel. The dragon's long neck bent down and raised, and then when she raised her head, it was with a smile.
"It's already too late. I've had a taste of the sea again, and I'm weary of the hardness of the land with its rocks and dust, where the sun sucks the moisture from your scales. I would return again even if this must be my last time. and perhaps before I die, I might be able to say enough to gain you and the dragon's protection. Though I have been outlawed, there are still many who think well of me." Mr. Hush shook his head. "This is not the kind of sacrifice a friend can ask of another." Now that her mind was made up, Minstrel seemed almost buoyant. To quote Tom, "I know the way. I'd like to see how either of you can stop me from going." She nudged Monkey with her tail. "But it will be almost as dangerous for this fur bag of a thief. Maybe he should stay here." Monkey looked at the dragon with new respect, but he couldn't resist teasing. "And let you hog all the glory?" Tom stirred on the stretcher.
"Mr. H?"
He popped himself up on an elbow.
"The egg!"
Mr. Hutt took it from the pocket of his hanging coat and held it up so that the light shone off the red petals of this disguise.
"We have it!"
The boy felt his chest. "The last thing I remember is the Watcher. It was so painful. How did we get here?" They told him everything that had happened, including the decision to retreat to the Dragon Kingdom.
"You got a little tiger in you now," Monkey finished. "So, better be careful when you get a little upset, or pass a fish shop, for example."
You did that for me?" Wondering, Tom turned to Mr. Hu. He thought only if his grandmother would make that kind of a sacrifice for him. Mr. H clasped the boy's hands in his paw.
"When your grandmother took me as her apprentice, she became like a parent to me. I can do no less for you."
Suddenly, the tiger looked sad.
"Even if you can't wait to escape me."
Tom stared up at the tiger in amazement.
"You still want me? But you ought to be glad I want to leave after what I've cost you."
"I'll try to be as patient with you as your grandmother was with me," Mr. Huss said hopefully. "And as a guardian, I will make my share of mistakes, so you must be as patient with me."
His head drooped suddenly, but Tom sprang quicker as a tiger from the stretcher to catch the guardian before he fell on his chair.
"Are you all right?" the boy asked, feeling how much the tiger was leaning on him for support.
He now was as energetic as the tiger was exhausted.
Yes. I just need a little rest,"
Mr. Huss said, barely able to lift his paw.
"So, how are you feeling, Tom?" Monkey asked. "You were pretty sick until, well, she worked her magic."
Tom touched the scale on his cheek and found it wouldn't come off. For others' descriptions, he was glad he had slept through the meeting with Nuka.
"I feel like I could run another 10,000 blocks," he said. "All right, guys, I know you're really intent to listen to the next part, and you really want to hear it, but, let's take a break. I'm Christopher Froley, keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids."
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Thank you. Welcome back to the program Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich, and our topic today, and has been for quite some time, The Tiger's Apprentice. Yep. And guys, I know out there that you've really, you know, just been loving this book, and I know you guys are loving it, and I don't blame you. I love the book just as much as you do. I've read it twice. Twice. That is more to say than I actually just read. So if I read a book twice, that means it's good. I read it when I was a little younger and things like that, so I don't know if it's good for some of you guys who are over the age of 16. I mean, I still like it, but I'm still a kid inside, and I'm at least willing to admit it. I'm at least willing to admit it, okay? So just, you know, buy the book, you know, go to your local library and things like that. Oh, God, library. Do you even know where that is? No, I'm just kidding. Some of you might. And, you know, just check out the book. It's called The Tiger's Apprentice, Book 1. It's going to be a little orange with a phoenix on the front. And it's by Yep. So either if you want to look up in the Dewey Decimal System, Yep, or The Tiger's Apprentice, or The Tiger's Apprentice, Yep, Book 1, I think you'll find it and you'll know where it is. It's a great book, guys. For those of you who've been reading out there, what's happened so far, if you accidentally missed an episode or things like that, they just got out of, with the whole situation with Nika, they just revived Tom and they're back in the palace. They've finally gotten out of that goo stone stuff because Mr. Hu was too weak from his soul being put into Tom to be able to hold the door open anymore that it started to collapse. So they had to fight their way into the portal that they made that was in Mr. Hu's shop. So they are done with that, and now Tom is coming too, and they're talking about how they're going to take the Phoenix Egg to the Dragon Kingdom, and they try to convince Minstrel not to go, because, you know, if Minstrel goes, she's going to get killed because she's such an outlaw out there. And she said, I already made my mind, I had a taste of the sea and stuff like that, and she said she really wants to go, and no matter what they say, she's going to go. She's really set on what to do. So now we're back here. Tom is basically thanking Mr. Hu, and Minstrel's just explaining herself and things like that, so let's continue. No wonder, Minstrel said, as pleased as any of them to see the boy so lively. It's all the tiger energy in a small human boy. Sydney, in the meantime, had been making himself at home by rummaging around in his refrigerator. So what did you say, Tom? My partner? And me will have to help him do what? And we have to get what? Tom was sure Vatten had even deadlier creatures than the ones that they had met, and had gotten back from the egg. So he was free to walk away. But even though he finally had his wish, he could feel how the tiger was leaning on him more and more. He couldn't desert Mr. Hu.
when he was so weak. Not after what the tiger had provided and given so much to Tom and shown how much he cared. "I still don't know if I want to do this all my life," Tom said thoughtfully. "But until the Phoenix is safe from Vatten, I guess I should go." Once he had said that, he felt sure it was what his grandmother would have wanted him to do. "Hear that, Mr. H?" Monkey teased the tiger. "I think you're on probation." Mr. Hutt chuckled. "An imperfect apprentice for an imperfect guardian. But I suppose it's to the Dragon Kingdom for all of us." "But food first," Sydney said, thrusting up a sausage like a sword. Monkey cleared his throat. "Say, huh? You wouldn't happen to have any of that ointment?" As weak as he was, the tiger could not resist teasing.
"Even if it stinks?"
Monkey slowly rotated an arm as if he was trying to work out the kinks. "Unlike that boat the dragon calls a snout, my pert nose is too tired to smell anything." Minstrel gave an embarrassed cough. "Now that the ape has brought it up, I could use some of it, too." Mr. Haas savored his revenge.
"My, my. How you've all aged. You did say only old people use it."
The dragon coiled up her body so that she could rub her spine. "Well, my back's bothering me, and you know what a problem that can be for a dragon." "She needs the ointment by the gallon," Monkey jeered.
"Fortunately, I bought it by the case," Mr. Huss said, and directed them to the closet.
Sydney emptied the contents of the refrigerator and cooked the food quickly. It made Tom feel sad and a little guilty to see how much trouble Mr. Huss had lifting and dumping to his mouth now. Even so, the tiger refused his help.
"I'm not an infant, Mr. Master Thomas."
Tom hesitated. "Then why have you spilled soy sauce on your vest?" Mr. Hu looked down annoyed.
"I'll have to soak that immediately, or it'll be ruined."
"I can do that," Tom said. Mr. Hu hesitated, and then nodded.
"Fine. And you'll find my spare vest in the second drawer from the top of the chest."
Tom picked up Mr. Hu's chopsticks, but first, you'll need some lunch. The fur bristled around the tiger's neck.
"I can feed myself."
Mr. Hu didn't scare the boy now. "You've got to keep up your strength," Tom said. Monkey tossed a shrimp dumpling into his mouth.
"Oh, do what he says, you old grump. You're twice as touchy when you're hungry."
"Humph," the tiger huffed. "Since when does the guardian take orders from his apprentice?"
But he motioned with a paw.
"No, not the pork dumpling. The beef ball."
Tom dropped the rejected item and picked up the desired delicacy with a grin. "Open wide now." Mr. Hu narrowed his eyes suspiciously.
"If I didn't know better, I'd say you were enjoying ordering me around."
"Face it, huh? You're better at giving commands than taking them," Minstrel laughed.
"Well, of course," Mr. Huff frowned, turned to a smile. "But I guess I can learn temporarily."
"Teach an old tiger new tricks?" Tom asked with the beef ball poised before the tiger's muzzle.
"Miracles can happen," Mr. Huff said, and stretched his jaws open, exposing sharp fangs.
The sight didn't intimidate Tom because he knew now the tiger would never hurt him. Dumping the food neatly into the guardian's mouth, he swung his chopsticks back towards the bowl. "So, what would you like next?"
"Well, I'm thinking the fishbowl, I think."
Mr. Hub pointed weakly with a claw. As Tom found the right item, the tiger added in a mumble,
"And thank you."
It is at least what an apprentice can do. Tom grinned back at Mr. H8. Tom heard the big tiger begin his deep, rumbling purr. Standing next to him, Tom could almost feel the vibrations of the guardian's content. They were headed for dangerous times ahead, but he'd already gotten Mr. H to obey him, and that was harder than any challenge that they're coming from the dead. Maybe being an apprentice wasn't going to be so bad, after all. Afterward, so guys, basically, now that you've been in tune with me so long, we have now finished The Tiger's Apprentice. But there is an epilogue. So we continue this and the afterward. So, wait, is it still running? Okay, we'll have to fix that. Our future is missing. Hi, this is Christopher Froelich, host of Bookworm, and this is Our Future is Missing. Please, be on the lookout for 2-year-old Vontresa Bolden, female, African-American, about 2 feet 4 inches, weighing in about 20 pounds. Brown eyes, black hair. She went missing from Champaign, Illinois, February 17, 2011, at around 10:43 p.m. She may be in company of her mother, Rakeem Moore. They may be in the Houston, Texas area. The mom, Rakeem, is biracial, African, American, Caucasian. And she may be using the last name Harris. This is a family abduction. If you know of Vontresa's or Rakeem Moore's whereabouts, please contact the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children hotline at 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-5678. To see a picture of both Vontresa or Rakeem's, please click on the link on the Voice America homepage, Our Future is Missing, or go to OurFutureIsMissing.com. Thank you. So, guys, let's take a break. I'm Christopher Froelich. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun, times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back to the favorite TV shows of our childhood, your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take Two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field. The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune in to the appropriately named Today's Kids.
your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Thank you. Welcome to the program Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. Our future is missing. Hi, this is Christopher Froelich, host of Bookworm, and this is Our Future is Missing. Please be on the lookout for Christopher Fleming. He is 17 years old and went missing April 8th, 2011 at 5 p.m. He is African American and is from Richmond, Virginia. He's about 5'10", weighing 145 pounds, with black hair, brown eyes, and is considered an endangered runaway. He may be with a female companion, and they may have traveled to West Virginia. Christopher has a scar under his chin, and hair may be in braids. If you know of Christopher Fleming's whereabouts, please contact the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children's hotline at 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-5678. To see a picture of Christopher Fleming, please click on the link on the Voice America homepage, Our Future is Missing, or go to OurFutureIsMissing.com, all one word. Thank you. So guys, let's get back to the book, though. After that, I know you guys really want to hear the afterwards part of the book, so we'll get to that. Quick side note: I know that we've just finished the book for yous out there. I just want to make a quick, please, guys, you know, you got to go get this book, or like, you know, send me some emails, shoot me an email, something like that. But anyway, but the book was really good. I really hope you guys enjoyed it out there. I might be doing another book review. I'll be doing some book reviews maybe, and I might be doing some more books like this where I just read it on tape, basically a book on tape, Christopher Froelich book on tape. And we'll be doing a lot more of those. So I'm going to try to find book two for you guys, but no promises. I don't know if they – I'm pretty sure they made a book two, but I'm going to go find it. I'll probably order it from the library, things like that. So I know you crazy fans out there – definitely want to hear book two. So this is the afterwards part. We just finished. It's just a side note. And it's basically how the author not just sums it up, but just, well, yeah, kind of just sums up the book along with some of her own personal opinions. So let's get started to it. As a child, I read a good deal of fantasy, but it was Western fantasy. So I was always puzzled by the way dragons were portrayed as evil. In San Francisco's Chinatown, I learned that dragons were good creatures that brought the rain. I think that's what first made me aware that I had a dual heritage as a Chinese American. And in time, dragons came to symbolize that identify for me. However, there are other ways in which Chinese mythology differs from Western legend, including those about the phoenix. I was struck by the fact that the Chinese phoenix has the power to change bad creatures. I wondered if the reverse were true, if a phoenix would also have the power to change good creatures. That was the seed from which this book grew. So the guardians who protect the phoenix are my own inventions, as are Kung Kung's attempts to use it. I have also thought it was curious that the first rebel in the Chinese creation myths was the minister of punishment, Kung Kung.
I would have expected him to be the opposite, to maintain order and to be one who would most be obedient to heaven's will. However, the myth states Kung Kung was far too strict and rebelled when he told to be more tolerant. Many of the fanciful creatures came from legend that ancient Chinese compendium of words, the Shen Hai Xing, around 3rd century BC, Monkey, of course, is drawn from many tales collected to the Journey of the West. So, guys, that is the entire book, The Tiger's Apprentice. I really hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the whole thing. We got through a lot. Damn, wow. But, yeah, guys, you should really, you know, even if you have me on audio, you should definitely just go out, get the book, and listen to my audio tape while you're reading the book because, you know, that's pretty chill. And, again, that last part was about the author's opinion, and she kind of didn't summarize the book, but she did, like, answer a few questions that were unnecessary. She told you guys how that Monkey is off from the book called The Journey to the West. Maybe you want to look into that. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Or that the Shen Hai Xing, the 3rd century, that a lot of the creatures came from a combined works of things from the 3rd century in Chinese folklore. So a lot of her ideas and her imagery and a lot of just basically her entire book came from a lot of other mythology from Chinese, but also came from American stylings, which she was talking about before, about how she is an American Chinese girl and she feels like she needs to portray a Chinese sense of mythology while still keeping into the realms of how an American would, how America sees or is their mythology is portrayed. And she gave the difference from American mythology and Chinese mythology. The difference between the two is how they believe, well, not the only difference, of course, but one of the differences, for an example, was how she told about how the dragons are perceived evil by the Americans, or American mythology, not just Americans in general, just American mythology, and how the Chinese actually see the dragons as good luck. Yeah, they see dragons as not those, like, bloodthirsty beasts that want to go around, you know, breathing fire, like... No. They're not. I mean, they are. I mean, you know Minstrel, if you guys have been listening or randomly tuned... Sorry if you guys just tuned in. I mean, that's kind of awkward that you just got to hear the last part of the book. Spoiler alert. That's a little late, too. So, yeah, but she's basically saying how the dragons aren't just, you know, like King Arthur kind of stuff. I don't know if there's a dragon in King Arthur. I haven't watched the movie King Arthur. There's a lot of them, but yeah. You know, she's just saying the Chinese mythology has a different perception, and she wanted to intertwine both hers and Chinese mythology in it. So the Chinese perceive dragons, and I've even learned this by some study. Like, you know, I go to public school, hey, and in my history class, I've learned a lot about Chinese culture too, and they have a lot of different things that we do. And she's just trying to, like, I mean, I keep telling you guys this, but I'm really emphasizing it. She's just trying to, like, you know, show her both sides of her and intertwine themselves. But mainly the dragons seen in China are seen as good luck. They're seen as the great protectors and the guardians and wonderful, really just brilliant creatures. That, and some of them even bring rain. Now, I recommend there's this book out there. It's called The Dragon's Diary. You look that up. The Dragon's Diary, it's a little, like, it's not a book. It's one of those books that you look, and it has a fake study on dragons. So, it is, it basically studies how, like, dragons are. I'm kind of a little bit of a dragon nerd. Yeah. If your respect went down for me, it's okay. I'm still here. You can come back and love me later. But I'm just saying that, yeah, it basically just talks about how the dragons
like there's different types of dragons, and there's some in America that are a certain type, like with like King George and things like that. And then there's other dragons, like in China, that can fly, and not all fly. And that there's dragons in Australia, and there's dragons all over the world, and that they actually existed. And when they were, I mean, there's no scientific evidence to say that they did not or did exist. So, yeah. I mean, they could. I mean, the dinosaurs, I mean, they didn't have wings, but come on, let's be honest. How awesome would it be to see a T-Rex with giant bat-like wings? It's basically a dragon. Think about it. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so, yeah, some weird things to think about. But, guys, I really hope you enjoyed the book and this the book, The Tiger's Apprentice by Yep, Book 1. I'm going to try to find the book 2. I've really enjoyed reading it to you guys. If you got anything you want to tell us or you know, contact us. That's just going to do it. Thanks for joining us. Listen to the show weekly on voiceamericakids.com. Contact us at voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Mention my name and the show. I cannot emphasize this enough, guys. I've been getting some weird stuff. You got to mention my name. My name. It's Chris Froelich. Please say my name. We'll answer any response, anything you got, guys. If you actually know where I can find the book or stuff like that, I'd really, really appreciate it. I'm Christopher Froelich. You know, keep it right here, guys. I'll see you soon. You'll listen to Voice America Kids Network.
You've been listening to Bookworm on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll be here at the same time next week, so be sure to tune in. Now, how many books do you think you can get through before our next show? Online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today.